The Late Lunch with Morehall Lodge Retirement Village RD for secure, independent community living. Morehallliving.ie.
From the bird to the garden itself, and it's very true, gardens come from the heart. It's a bit like falling in love, so says award-winning horticulturist Peter Donegan, who began gardening from under his bed at just 5 years of age. From bedrooms to 18th century estates and music festivals, his green fingerprint is to be found all over the place. And he's with us on Late Lunch today. Peter, good to see you.
Jerry, how are you?
I'm very good. Thanks for dropping in. That is a true story about your bedroom and 5 years of age where it all began for you.
Yeah, it is. It's very much a case of, I think I started at the back garden. It's a very long story, but apparently I've got a lot of time. But out the back garden with my granddad, and I did help him grow. Radish seeds were the first thing. And the following year I trialled it myself, and it went terribly wrong. It was a month's worth of 10p pocket money, for those who remember the old decimal point in the wrong place pre-cents and that. And I'd cycled up to, at the time, I think it was Newlands Garden Centre, which was at the back of a house just on out towards Clondalkin. And I dug trenches 2 foot deep and put the seeds at the very, very bottom of them, and couldn't understand why only chickweed seeds
came up
appeared. And of course, when I realised that the chickweed seeds weren't radish seeds, I went in and asked my dad how come they didn't work out. And I was one of 8 children, so he said, well, his, you know, stereotypical answer was, well, you come back and tell me. So to prove myself right, I went down with my sister to the library. We pulled out all the relevant wrong books and right books, and eventually found out that the book that told me that you should start by digging your ground 2 foot deep, a book I bought in a book sale in Howth for, I think it was 20 pence, that I still have to this day, was entirely wrong. And there you go. So it started again. I went inside and it told me that temperatures were too low, and I started growing them under my bed, started watering them. And the old Coke bottles, if you remember, they used to have a black bottom.
Yes.
They were the old, what was it, 1.5 litre bottles. So they were underneath the bed. Then Mom found out, she was only 5 foot nothing. She obviously could get underneath the bed, so I put them on top of the wardrobe. And then obviously gravity and water and clothes don't really work too well. Mom obviously couldn't reach the top of the wardrobe, so that was my theory there. So I put them down into my dad's garage, and at the time, before people started converting their garages, you had 3 windows over the door. So the seeds started to come up all right, but they started to lean towards the light. So at about 6 years of age, I knew what phototropism was. For those that don't, that's plants leaning towards the light. It's just a fancy damn word. I now know. So kind of, pardon the cliched pun, but it all stemmed from there.
When you have an experience like that, and those early experiences are formative because they make you inquisitive. It showed me that there, and on you go, and it's by trial and error that you learn. But it moved on from you. This was always going to be what you would be.
It's gas, and you say that. It's I was talking to Louise, your lovely researcher, before I came on air, and you know, she was saying to me about garden talks and bits and bobs like that, and I was telling her that I was in Ballyfermot, St Dominic's School in Ballyfermot, with some transition year students doing a talk. And I was trying to get that kind of bit where you close your eyes and you picture things. But also, as one of their teachers explained to me, somebody who is influential, you might say, who you might look up to. And I guess I was a little bit of a brat growing up. So to be into horticulture in 80s Ireland wasn't really that fashionable. We had a vinyl player in our bedroom. I had a very good taste in music. But at the same token, I think one of the old Maris brothers in Clondalkin at the time, eventually I had to get the plants out of there, compost all over dad's tools. So wasn't good. So he allowed me to put them into his glass house in exchange for me helping him out with the grounds. So by about 9-10 years of age, I was repairing football pitches and landscaping the front of houses without even blinking. But this is a guy I in hindsight, and I'm probably doing myself a disservice here, a great one, but probably had a lot, and I say a lot, double underlined, of patience with me. But I did learn a lot, and you do need, in all things horticulture, and I hear of recent we had the Monty Dons of this world and the Alan Titchmarshes and the Royal Horticultural Societies putting out press releases saying that children should garden more. And I don't think really there's one big ethos that you can sweep across like a state a general law that must come in where children should garden more. I'm a firm believer in all things that, like you said in my introduction, from the heart, be it music or be it horticulture, you really do need the right person, and finding that right person that people kind of not so much look up to, but they feel that little bit of passion again is where it all starts. But yeah, yeah, it went from there. I think about 10 years of age, I had a lucky break, you might call it. We were always cutting grass to get the runners that we didn't want our dad to buy us. And I was asked by a neighbour to do my first front garden at about 10 years of age, and it all started a little bit.
So you were
there,
an entrepreneur, and you were working at something you loved, and you were learning your trade, and you were out in the open air.
Well, yeah, there's that. And then I guess there's also, I have to be honest about this, because I remember going into my dad and saying, Dad, I don't want them runners. I want, you know, those runners. So I think at the time, people might remember this, but back in the Yellow Pack days of Quinsworth, you could get, and Penny's, I think, was it, they were the neighbouring shop. You could get scissors, and scissors weren't cool at school. And I remember saying to Dad, I want to get a pair of them, and him saying to me, that's great. And that was the end of the conversation. So if you wanted more, you had to put the money to it. And the grass cutting was a way to do that. But at the same token, you can't feign, and it goes back to this again, my analogy of being in love. You can't pretend to be in love. You can't pretend to have that amount of passion. You either do or you don't. And I think in my latter or not so far years ago, I think the show gardens that I did do, they weren't financially wise, is the polite variation of what my accountant would have said to me. They weren't wise at all.
But your heart was in them.
Yeah, I had a great time. It's like, as I said to one guy, I said, if you've never sat on a hill or a hummock or a raised piece of ground with a loved one at 3 o'clock in the morning when you really should have been home at two with some bottle of beverages next to your side, listening to, be it Jimi Hendrix or the Rolling Stones or reading poetry or whatever the case may be, you know, there's no price tag that you can put on somebody feeling something from the heart. And it is literally, be it Yeats or Keats, it's, or one or the other, it's very much from the heart again.
And you look on this, and you're alluding to that all the time, as an art, what you do. You mentioned at 10 years of age you were cutting grass, you were doing gardens, you were getting more and more into this. You were very young when you did your first design.
I was.
What age were you?
When I did my first, I guess the first design I did, a real design that won award, was I was about 30, and that was a 55-acre 18th century estate. So that would have been a three-year build, so I would have started that at 27.
You're young. You're young in terms of designer.
Well, at the time, when I won that award, I remember one guy saying to me, he said, you know the problem with you, Donegan? He said, you don't have a beard. And he said, your jumper's too fashionable. And I couldn't get my head around that. And people were asking me, is it your dad's company? But again, the thing was, I looked too young. So, look, I'll be dead honest with you. I guess I'm supposed to, or the stereotypical gardener stands in a potting shed with a woolly jumper and pulls compost out of his beard and a pencil from behind one ear and a bit of sawdust falls out of his shirt pocket while he roots around for his pipe and tobacco. And I never really fell into that category at all. I was a little bit what some might call bold or brash. I put my neck on the line a little bit, and I guess once I had one award for the 17th and 18th century gardens, two separate ones, I think then I started to be a little bit puppish. But I think some of my peers said to me afterwards, because I had won 17th and 18th century, that nobody could really argue with me, because they would, oh, well, he has done that, you're right. Okay, so we can't really say anything bold about him. In horticultural terms, and bear in mind, horticulture really isn't that controversial, but in horticultural terms, maybe it was considered that. But look, it's all about, you're smiling here in the other side of the microphone.
No, but you see, the 17th and 18th, you talk about those gardens there, to design something like that, to bring something back to that era.
Yeah.
You must have had to do a lot of research about that. Did you go back? You mentioned the book you bought that led you down the wrong path many moons ago. But
yeah.
How did you, you know, put those back together? What blueprint did you use? How did you do it?
I know in the 17th century ones, to put them into context, I think they were originally, the 17th century one was originally owned by the daughter of Robert Molesworth. So that'll give you a kind of an age on it. But funnily enough, it was a talk that I did recently in Christchurch Cathedral that this one came up in conversation with, and also my first book of digging the trenches 2 foot deep. Of Molesworth's designs on this particular garden, they were never actually complete. Funnily enough, and talk about the wheel turning, he went bankrupt or broke in what he called spending too much money in the luxury of property and also garden design. So the designs were never finished. So there wasn't really a blueprint to go by. So I guess in history terms, for the first time in the home's history or the house's history, this house in particular, it was the first time for them to be complete. In reality, what you end up doing is bringing it into a modern sense of the game, which is, you know, people don't have the money to have 18 full-time gardeners and, you know, a couple of waifs hanging around the gates just in case, just to make it look a little bit more authentic.
And that's what there was in the 17th century there.
That's what you would have had.
Where was that garden?
That was in North County Dublin, not too far away from Dublin Airport.
And how many acres?
That was 27 acres.
And you brought that back?
In short, yeah, it's nice, and don't get me wrong. There's shiny things up on the mantelpiece, and they look good, and but shiny things don't pay the bills. As again in conversation with Louise, I know she was saying, so you know, and a lot of people started to do this. They started to say, so you only do big gardens, and when the crest and the wave of financial gain and loss kind of came, it was a dangerous place to be. And following your heart wasn't, again, I'll double underline, it wasn't financially rewarding in any way.
The heart keeps the blood pumping, but it doesn't keep bread on the table. Peter Dunnigan is an award-winning garden designer. He's from Ballybohol and he's with me on Late Lunch this afternoon. Award-winning garden designer Peter Dunnigan is with me on Late Lunch. We talked about the 17th, the 18th century restoration you did. That was North County Dublin as well?
That was North County Dublin as well, yeah. I don't know how the phone calls came in at the time, Jerry. Like I said, I would have been maybe 27, 28 years of age, far too young to be doing what I was doing, I guess. Some people still say in hindsight at the time, but look, you work hard, you play hard, and I think that's what other people call luck.
Did you make, you were saying that it comes from the heart, but you do have to put bread on the table, you have to survive. Did those projects deliver a profit for you? Did you make money from them?
You did and you didn't. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not stupid. I'm one of eight. Dad would have been in business all his life. I have an older brother who's still in construction and would have been a smart boy. You know, I'm an educated fella at the back of it all and not silly by any means. But at the same token, sometimes I guess to garner respect, you might call it, particularly in the horticultural industry. In music terms, I'm told it's like coming out the second album and then the first album becomes popular again. But in horticultural terms, I was far too young and I didn't want to be seen as another gardener, inverted commas, no offence and no disrespect, all God's creatures have a place, as they all say. But it really was a case of get the shiny thing and make sure, if you're going to fail, that you're going to fail in the Premier League, not in the second division. And I think I, in hindsight, will show that I did okay.
So you arrived, yes, with those awards, and they were significant for those. It was important for you. But you're a guy that will work on any garden, a small back garden, a medium, an acre, half acre, whatever is there is your canvas.
Yeah, it was always a case of that. And I think, again, the only stipulation I ever really had was it wasn't so much about the money. The money kind of is, that's grand and it's fine. But, you know, any horticulturist who's smart will tell you it's a lifelong vocation and you've good months and you've bad months. I guess the only thing I did do, as I said, was I took a bit of pride. I turned down gardens that were never going to look in any way good, irrespective of budget, where, you know, you'll hear it still to this day. Builders will tell me that they're told that they're being undercut by 25 and 35% in horticultural terms. I still honestly believe, a bit like building, like radio shows, like PPI award-winning radio shows, I should say, Jerry, you know, you get what you pay for in life. And if you want quality, then I'll build that and I'll create that for you. If you don't want quality, then you're right, there is a cheaper price. And that's what got me to do the gardens that I did. At the same token, be it outside of LMFM studios or be it in Belfast or Donegal or Galway or Cork or Germany or London, where I've also worked, again, just by luck, it's only because I think there was an element of trust where people knew the work that I had done over a 5-year period or 6-year period at the time, now 12, 13 years in business, and were willing to pay for that. And that's what stood me, I guess, the test of time. You know,
and when you come in, if I meet you, you'll advise me. You'll say, or will you listen to me at all? Well, if I'm the customer, I want to do something with my garden. I have some ideas in my head, not like you that works at it all the time. Will you take on board what I want, but then, you know, do it and put your stamp on it?
There's a bit where I think the odd time I've turned around to people and said, look, if I don't advise you that this is going to either A, look a pile of pants, to use select terms, or B, not look great, or C, it's illogic, or even illogic horticulturally to, or botanically, so to speak. I will advise them of that. If the client, inverted commas, I hate that word, turns around and says, but that's what I want, then that's absolutely fine, but I still have to advise them, as maybe a solicitor or might do, if you understand. But at the same token, whether it's a child's garden, whether it's a garden for a hospital, whether it's been a garden for a hotel, a wedding garden, or whether it's your domestic back garden, there's two things of note. Number one, when the gardens are always done, the day after I walk out the door, you will say that I am a genius, as will your good lady or your partner. However, it's only 3 years down the road that you will see how good of a job that I did. And it's then usually that most people will pick up the phone and go, hold on a second, I thought he was a genius. I now dislike him horticulturally for very many reasons. We have to bring tree surgeons in. They said they'll never grow taller than 2 foot tall. They're now 20 foot tall. They're blocking out the neighbour's light. They've fallen under gazebo. We need to do something about this and get it redone.
That's interesting. Takes time for things to mature. And if you don't listen, that is a big fault with people who don't know. They plant trees that are way... should be in the Amazon jungle, not in small back gardens or places like that. Have you come across that a lot?
Well, I guess the plant of choice in the 60s, 70s would have been the Griselinia literalis, which is the green, not to use big words, but the obvious green hedge that you might have seen. For those who know Dublin City Centre, maybe Collins Avenue, Griffith Avenue, it was either privet, golden privet or not, and then another green hedge. Then it developed, I guess, into the leyland. And of modern times, I guess from the noughties up to the tens, we would have had the phylostachys or the bamboo. And there were two types of bamboo in particular. One was for geese that only grew to about maybe 12 foot tall. The cheaper version, because the quicker a plant grows, the taller it gets quicker, the more saleable or quickly you can, I guess, flog it on, in short, turn your bread and butter. But the phylostachys aurea, not related to the Fergusea. So the difference between a Donegan and a, let's say, a Jerry, and you end up with one that only wants to grow to maybe a 10, the other one wants to grow to 35, 40 foot tall.
The cheaper one.
Yeah, the cheaper one, obviously. So who's the cheaper quote? Which one did you take? Why did you take it? Is it down to cha-ching? Of course it is. But in 3, 4, 5 years' time, it's a little bit too late financially for me to say, well, I was right. It doesn't really matter. The job is gone and being done. You're not going to ring me up and say, I was wrong, you're right. It's all gone. But there's a lot of, I guess, North County Dublin as well, Swords areas where it would have been deck the whole back garden and bamboo, whitewash the walls and do it that way. And there was a right way and there was a wrong way. And equally, but don't get me wrong, Terry, equally in through the boom and the noughties and all of that. Look, we've good builders and bad builders. We've good gardeners and bad gardeners. And as some people say, we've good bankers and bad bankers as well. So look.
You were telling me that you enjoy as much going back to those very early days when you grow. What's the bulb you were mentioning to me? And you
my hyacinth bulb.
Yes.
Yeah, I bought it for 7. I got 10p pocket money. I spent 7p on a bulb. It should have cost me 17p, but I bought 6 halfpenny sweets at the time. I'm 38, but I'm an old boy at the back of it all. It was the hyacinth bulb, and I think my hyacinth bulbs are still growing in a vase on my kitchen window ledge, but I grow them in pebbles so I can see the roots growing down through them. I still do that thing where I get up in the middle of the night. I'm a late sleeper, driving about 4 hours sleep, but seeing the roots of the hyacinth bulb, just knowing it's growing while it's still dormant above ground. And I guess that whole thing of photo and geotropism, coming back to it again, you know.
It takes you right back there.
It does, yeah.
You're available anywhere, anytime, any hour.
Within reason, yeah. If it's 3 o'clock in the morning, it might be a little bit of a different story, Jerry, you know. But a bit like yourself. Yeah. It's always good to get a phone call and know you're loved.
It certainly is. Listen, you're a character, a real character. And I can see where that passion comes from and the love of what you do and what you put into it. Well done on those significant awards for those major gardens, because they are yours and always will be yours and make you outstanding from the field. But this guy, you want to see the work he does. It's magnificent. How would people get in touch with you if they want a word?
If you want a word, I guess the easiest way is donneganlandscaping.com or just Google Peter Donegan Landscaping. Don't confuse me with Lonnie's brother. I believe his name is Peter.
Does your chewing gum lose its flavour on the bedpost overnight? Not this man's. Peter Donegan, good to meet you today.
Pleasure, Jerry.
Thank you.
Thank you.